Man, is God good? Amen. God is good, isn't He? I mean, how awesome is He this morning?
Very awesome.
I like that, Teddy. I like that. I said that this morning. Somebody asked me how I was. I said, I'm awesome. Today's awesome. This is an amazing day. This is the day I get to come and be with my church family. Amen. This is the day I get to come and celebrate my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, with my family. You know, I can do that every day of my life, and I like to do that. I like to get alone. I like to praise Him. But this is the day I can come together with my church family, and I can feel, man, when all of our hearts are together and when we're united together, praising Him, to feel the power of the Holy Spirit in that, man, there's nothing like that. Come on. I mean, I hope you feel that. You know, that's what I look forward to in the week. I look forward to coming together and praising Him and feeling that united feeling, that unity in our church. Man, we come here and we focus on Him. He deserves more than I could ever give. But I want to give everything that I can while I'm here. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. This morning, I wanted to talk about a scripture that we're real familiar with. And it's out of the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. But I want to kind of recap some stuff through the book of Ephesians, because I know I've preached out of the book of Ephesians before, and you guys are really familiar, many of you are really familiar with the armor of God. Let me pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord. I thank You for Your presence in my life, Lord. I just ask You to remove anything that may hinder Your Word being spoken clearly this morning. Lord, this is Your word. This is Your truth. Lord, just let me speak what You want me to say. Lord, clear my mind of anything that may deter me. Lord, I praise You. Clear our minds, Lord, this morning. Clear our minds of anything that may hinder us from receiving Your word and open up our hearts. Lord, we just pray for Your Holy Spirit to be in complete control this morning. Let Your glory fall upon this church this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to read just a little bit, and then I've got some other scriptures I want to go through. And, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That's a bold statement right there, isn't it? He says, finally. And what he means by finally is, I'm going to go back, and in the book of Ephesians, Paul is talking, he goes through talking about how we are alive in Christ. And then in chapter 3, he talks about this marvelous plan for the Gentiles, which is, I mean, is there any Jews here this morning? There's no Jews here this morning? Well, then we're all Gentiles, right? We all like bacon, right? I mean, we do. I can eat bacon again. Man, that's like the best thing ever. When I was sick, they wouldn't let me eat bacon. I couldn't, man, I was on this such a restricted diet. It was killing me. I'd come here on Sunday morning and Brad would be cooking bacon. And that took the power of God. It did, to keep me from eating bacon. But all things set aside, he talks about how, this marvelous plan that God lays out for the Gentiles. And then he goes into talking about that we have to become a servant of the gospel, which is a gift of God by grace. And then he talks about how that this was kept hidden for many years, but is now opened up for us. And then he talks about how we this immeasurable, unimaginable. This thing that God has done, I mean, I think about that. It's unimaginable that he would come, that God would send his son down to die on a cross for a bunch of people who didn't deserve it. Now, can you imagine that? That's hard to imagine. But then he says, he goes into talking about unity and maturity in the body of Christ and how we should live our life worthy of the calling. Now that we've been adopted, now that we've been, you know, we understand that, you know, we didn't deserve what Christ did for us. He says, I want you to live this life as a servant. Live a life worthy of the calling. In verse 4, in chapter 4, he talks about. Back in chapter 3, he says, I pray out of the glorious riches that you may have strength and you may have power in your inner being. He talks about that. And then I'm kind of recapping this up to where I'm going to talk about. He says, be patient, be humble, be gentle, be bearing with one another in love, making this, bringing unity. Keep every effort to be unified in the church with each other through the bond of peace. Because there's only one body. Man, we've got one family right here. We need to keep it together, right? We got one family. We got one shot at this thing. We got one shot at this thing. Let's keep it together. Let's keep on track. Let's not get sidetracked by all this junk that can go on. You hear me? This is the message Paul says. And he goes on, he says, so Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. It's all about building up the body of Christ. It's all about unity. And then he goes on to talk about instructions for Christian living. Ephesians is a great book. It's a great study book. There's so much in it. You can study for months out of the book of Ephesians. And he says, so I tell you what I was talking about. He says, I tell you this and insist on it. Now listen to me. That's pretty bold words, isn't it? I insist on this. If I said that as a pastor, hey, I insist you guys live this way. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? But Paul says it. Paul says, I insist that you live this way. Why? He sees it necessary. He says that you must no longer live as the Gentiles did or do. You know, because we have a changed life now. We're not the same people that we used to be. We got to put off. He goes in on talking about in the same part. You got to put off your old self, which is corrupted and has deceitful desires. And we're not like that. We got to put on this new attitude, this new life. That's it, part of our instructions for Christian living. He said, because do not give the devil a foothold. Now, I want you to remember this part because we're going to get to this. Remember this. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk. Be helpful to building up others. Man, that's what he's talking about, this Christian life. On into chapter 5, he says, as in Christ God forgave you, follow God's example. And that's another part I want you to remember. Don't let the devil have a foothold. And another one, God forgave you, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Follow God's example is the second one. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then he goes on to say that there must not be any. He insists on this, right? He insists on this. He's talking to who? The church, right? He's not talking. He's talking to the church. He says there shouldn't be a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which were out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Now I'm going to get off that. He said in verse 8, he says, "For you were once in darkness, but now are enlightened by the Lord." See, we once, this is all about what we once was and who we should be. And then he goes on to say, "But everything exposed," verse 13 of chapter 5, it says, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Here's another part that I want you to listen to. It says, "Be careful then." Be careful then. Okay, this goes on to where we're going to head here in just a few minutes. He says, "Be careful then of how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." And I know I preached on that not too long ago. "Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And then he goes into talking about instructions. He talked about Christian living now, and now he goes into instructions for the household. And here's one that very few pastors will preach about. They really kind of skip through this because they won't preach about this hardly. And I'll tell you why. I don't even have to tell you. I just read it and you'll know why. It says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now, I like that part, right? I like that. We should submit to one another. Submit means to give your will over. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That word submit, not a lot of us like it, really. Giving ourselves. But then he goes on, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." That's a good part. Should I skip verse 23 or should I read it? Well, if it's in the Word of God, I got to read it, right? I can't skip over things, right? I got to give you the full context of it. So we can't take it out of context. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body." I read it really fast. "Of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." That's not preached on a lot. Verse 25, "Now husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church." Man, I tell you what, there's a lot to be said in that, but that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. But it's this part of the family that he's talking about, how our household should be, how our family should be. It's this submission to each other. And not only in the body of Christ, we should be submissive to each other in love. Also, as a husband and wife, we've got to submit to each other that way, fully, completely, not just partial, because that's one of the biggest problems we have. We only want to half commit. Now listen to me. We half commit to our relationships and we half commit to the body of Christ. We have commit to the Lord. We have to fully commit. That's what he's saying. It's not just partial. It's not just a little bit. It's everything. We have to submit we have to submit everything to one another. And that's another good study to go, is to read about the one another's. I preached a message about the one another's. And there's a lot of things that we should do for one another. And that's a really good study if you guys ever want to challenge yourself to study. When I encourage it, we should be reading our Word. And I'm going to get to that in a minute and why it's so important. Okay, we got the instructions for households, instructions for the wives and husbands. We got Because, and then it goes into children. How we got children in here? Listen to this, children. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, serve, I love this one, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. That's another important thing. Serve wholeheartedly. Because, see, what he's trying to get at, he's starting to say, okay, we serve each other, we submit to each other, and we do all of this, but we don't do this for the individual. We do this because we love God. We do this. He says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know them. I'm going to go on from that. And then we get to where my scripture starts tonight, or this morning. And I don't want to go too long this morning, but this just really hit me. And I had to go back and kind of, I felt like, bring you up to this point, because it gives you kind of the full understanding of what Paul is saying here. And I think too many times we pick one little old scripture and we focus on it, and we don't really get the whole context of everything. We don't get the whole picture, the whole story. So Paul comes down to this point, and he says, finally, brothers, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. He says, be strong in the Lord. And I want you to remember that word, in. Because it's not strong with the Lord, it's strong in the Lord. There's a difference. He says, put on the full armor of God. Not just part of it, but all of it. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. In some translation it says wiles. But the word there, when you go back and study the word, it means the same thing. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness, of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. I want to go back, because he's saying, we don't struggle against flesh and blood. We don't struggle with people. And so many times we focus on people. And to bring you up, that he talked about all these outward things that we do before we come to this point. We don't drink and we don't smoke. Remember Jeremiah Bullock. Does anybody remember him? He used the term, we don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls that do. You ever heard that? Some of us are guilty of all of it. But, you know, he's like, we don't do those things. Those are outward things. These are things that we don't do, right? These are outward things. But he said, then there comes a time where, you know what? Our struggle is really not with flesh and blood. Our struggle is with something a whole lot more powerful than that. And he says, so in verse 10, he says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Because why he says that is because, you know what? We cannot do it on our own. We cannot fight against these powers without God. Without Jesus, without His power, without His might, we can't do it. No matter how much. And he said, when you've done all you can do, he says, stand firm. And have you ever been there where you just felt like that you were being spiritually attacked to the point to where you couldn't do it anymore? You'd done all that you could do. And then Jesus steps in and says, just stand firm. I got you.
Amen.
Amen. Just stand firm. I got you. Man, I love that. And he said, here's how you do that. Paul, this is what Paul says. You know, that being in, we're going back to verse 10, being in his mighty power. It's like, you go to a ball game and you can be in the stadium and you can be with the players, but it doesn't make you in the game. Amen? I want to be in the game. I want to be in the game with Jesus Christ. And it's just like there's some people that come to church and they're with the congregation and they're here, but they're not in the congregation. You listen to me. They're not in all the way with Jesus. They can be with it. They can be a part of it. But he says, be in Christ. Think about that now. He says, stand firm with the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Let's look at John chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, I didn't give Verna these scriptures. Because I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. Now, whether you have it on your app or you have your Bible with you, but I encourage it. I think it's open up to John, the book of John, chapter 8, verse 44. I'm going to try to get through this as quick as I can. I don't want to. John 8. I got mine marked, so I kind of cheated. We talk about truth. He says this truth. What are we talking about when we think about truth? 8:44 says this. Let me find it. Yep. You belong to your father. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth. There's that word truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Now turn to John 17. And in verse 17. It says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. What he's saying is the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that Jesus died on a cross. That's the truth, right? The word of God is the truth, right? We think about what is true. The truth is that Jesus died on a cross for the forgiveness of sins, right? He sanctifies me. That's the truth. You think about all the truths. All the truths are in the Scripture, right? When Satan went to the garden and tempted Eve, he's the one that deceives. He tells partial truths. But we know that the truth is in the Word. Now listen to me. I'm going to try to get through this quickly this morning. Get back to where I was at. So stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. He's saying stand firm on the truth that you know. Believe in what Christ told you. Believe in what the Word says. Believe in it. It's the truth. And then he says, and with the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, righteousness and truth is almost the same, because we know for a fact, and I'm going to try to get through this quickly, we know that righteousness and truth is real close together. Righteousness is, we know for a fact that we could not do anything on our own. That it's only because we were made right, only because of Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen? We were only made right through Him. And in Romans chapter 6, it talks about the righteousness. But we have to be ready from the gospel of peace. What is that gospel of peace? I'm going to ask that question. What is the gospel of peace? Somebody want to answer that this morning? It's quiet. Man, I want to tell you what, I've got peace in my heart because I believe in every word of the Scripture. I believe I have peace in my heart when the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I have every belief, I have no doubt in my heart that I'm not going to heaven, and I have peace about that.
Amen.
I do. I have peace about that. Do you have peace in your heart? I know you guys have heard this probably preached many different ways. But man, I'm ready. I'm ready that comes from the gospel of peace. I'm ready. Come on now.
Amen.
In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. With which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know, the shield of faith. You know, it says there's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about faith. Faith without works is dead, and all these different scriptures that talk about faith. But I know that when you read about this shield. When the Roman soldiers would go into battle, they would dip their shield, because it was made out of rawhide, they would dip it in water and soak it in water so that when the flaming arrows got shot at them, it would hit that and not burn their shield up. That's faith. Trusting in that. Trusting in that. It quenches them. I'm kind of getting off a little bit here this morning, but... Yeah, thanks, Teddy. Take hold of the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Man, I want to tell you what, all these things are for the protection of ourselves. You know, and all the things that Paul talked about, all the things that Jesus talked about, you know, how we should live and what we should do and all the commands that He gave. That's what Paul is talking about. We have to hold fast. We have to hold fast to the truths that are written in the Scripture. We have to hold fast to the idea that we are saved. That should mean something. We have to stand firm in those beliefs. We have to stand firm that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter how many times Satan throws stuff at me, no matter how many times he tries to tempt me, that this shield of faith has got it. Come on now. I mean, and then he gives us a sword, right? He refers to the sword, which is not only a defense, but an offense as well. And he says, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And that's what I wanted to encourage this morning is read your Bibles. You have to know the Word of God. You have to know it. Because that's how you defeat Satan in this spiritual war that we're in.
Amen.
That's how you know. And we have to keep guard. We have to keep on guard all the time. We have to get up every day ready for battle, ready to fight, because we know there's a day going to come when Satan's going to be on the attack. And he's going to try to attack you in your mind. That's why we need a helmet. He's going to try to attack you in your heart, because that's why we need the breastplate. He's going to try to attack you in your feet. Why? He says, walk in the truth. Walk, walk. We walk every day. Walk, walk, walk with who? Walk with Christ. We take up our cross and we follow Him. Now, let me tell you, when I was younger, I could run across a gravel parking lot and it didn't hurt my feet. I can't do that now. I have to have shoes on. That's why we wear shoes, right? I don't want to be all mixed up. I just want to give something simple this morning, because this is not that difficult. We make it to be something difficult, and we blame people sometimes. Well, if that person hadn't hurt me, or if this hadn't happened, or if that hadn't happened, but we can't. We got to ignore all that stuff, and that's why it's so important for us to be unified. That's why Paul brought all this stuff together about how we should live, and he insisted on how we should live, but he said you can't do all that without the power of the Lord. You can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on at the end, he said, and pray for everything in the Spirit. Pray for everything in the Spirit. Don't stop praying. Pray for each other. Am I way off here this morning, or are you getting what I'm saying? You know, there's a time we have to protect ourselves. And what I'm saying, protect yourself. That's why you wear the helmet every day. Things come on TV that's not appropriate. Guess what? Turn it off. Don't give Satan a foothold. Remember what he said? Don't give Satan a foothold. Don't allow that to happen in your life. Protect yourself. Be strong. Protect yourself. Don't let him get in your heart. Don't let Satan break your heart. Satan will use people to break your heart. Don't focus on that. That's why it's important, again, to be unified. That's why it's important to be unified with your spouse. That's why it's important to be unified with your kids. That's why it's important to be unified with your church. Come on now. But most of all, pray in the Spirit. And the last few Sundays I've been talking about the Spirit. I've been talking about the Shekinah glory, the Spirit of God that dwells within us. I've been talking about that, and I believe that we need the Holy Spirit in everything that we do in our life, because without the Spirit of the Lord, we cannot be strong. And even that little kid song that we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, that's the truth. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong.
Amen.
That's who we are. I hope this encourages you this morning. I hope it does. God put this on my heart, and sometimes I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't. But with the Holy Spirit's help, that's the only reason. That's the only way that I could do. That's the only way that I can go on. It's the only way that I can get up every day and walk this walk that He's called me to walk. It's not easy. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's right. Yep. Yep. You know, I really like to focus on being in Christ and being in the Spirit, because that just seems to be the right thing. Because if you're not in Christ and you're not in the Spirit, then you're outside of that. It's just like you're either in a car or out of it. There's no, you can be on it, you can be around it, but unless you're in it, make sense? I want to be in it. I want to be in it to win it. Is that it? What? Win what? Win the race. Win the prize that's been set before us. Win that place in heaven that Jesus has gave us. He's built, He's prepared a place for us in heaven. Amen? I want to be in that. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. That ought to be shouting ground. Yeah. Amen. 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 Well, I challenge you this morning. I want to say this. If you're not in Christ this morning, if you're not living in the fullness of His Spirit, man, now there's no better time than today right now. And all you have to do is with a repentant heart, just ask Him to forgive you of your sins and say, I want to make you Lord of my life and I'm going to serve you to the best of my ability. It's not that we're perfect, but what we are not, what we fail to do, He makes perfect. And that's where that righteousness comes from. He makes us right when we want and we live that life for Him. Just stand with me and let's pray. Lord, help us to be in You, Lord. Lord, just we thank You, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't not have that relationship with You, Lord, I just ask for Your Holy Spirit right now to fall upon them. You know, and Lord, I know that sometimes we're weak and sometimes we let things go and sometimes we put on part of the armor and we don't put it all on. Maybe we leave the helmet off or we leave the sword and we don't study like we should, Lord, and we don't have the faith that we need, but let us put on the full armor of God, not just part of it. Lord, just strengthen us this morning. Lord, let us leave here better than we came. Let us leave into this battlefield that we fight. But let us stand strong because we know that Your Holy Spirit is with us wherever we go. You live within us. That power that You give is, You give it to us. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, I just praise You for the blessings that You've given us. Lord, thank You for John being here this morning. Lord, I lift him up to You again, Lord, because with Your healing powers and strength, he is able to be here. And Lord, I pray for Richard. He's here this morning. Lord, I ask You to continue to strengthen him, Lord. Lord, I believe this because Your Bible says so. Your Word says these things, and I believe them. Lord, I pray for this community. Lord, let us be a light that when people see us, they see You. Let us set aside that anything, everything that may hinder us from walking this path in You. Lord, I praise You and thank You in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.